check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Go 24/7 podcast. My name is Bryce Kuhn, and we take another trip behind enemy lines. This time, as LSU gets set for a rivalry matchup with Florida, we head down to Gainesville. Jacob Rudner of Swamp 24/7 joins us. Jacob, first off, man, it seems like you and I were just chatting it up in Nashville at SEC Media Days, and now we find ourselves, you know, in getting to the middle of November with just three regular season games remaining for both teams. It's man, it's good to talk to you. I can't believe we're already in the month of November.
Yeah, man, it's the season flies. It's crazy. You know, you go in with expectations, and there's a lot you're trying to see. And you know, the second you feel like you're finally getting your feet under you, it's like the season's about to end. And so it just goes so fast. I can't believe that we're at this game, and it feels kind of like a big spot here for both teams this late in the season.
It does. And look, you and I were kind of talking back and forth before we started recording. And so we just kind of dive into this, man. I mean, look, I looked at this game about 2 weeks ago and told LSU fans, say, hey, I mean, like, you know, this is whether you win or lose in Tuscaloosa, this is going to be a tough matchup. Some of the fans on our message boards have kind of called me out on that a little bit after the loss to Arkansas for Florida. But kind of describe, what's the mood? I mean, if there's a mood tracker right now for this Florida fan base and this team after really what was a kind of devastating loss. And I'll say from the outside, Jacob, a game that I really think Billy Napier couldn't afford to lose, especially when you look at what's remaining on the schedule.
Oh, I think that's totally fair to say. I would evaluate that to be one of the most pivotal games of his tenure so far. I think last year, Billy Napier's first season at Florida, there was a sense that the loss at Vanderbilt was going to be pretty consequential, something that people were going to hang on to. Just a historic loss, one that you really don't go into expecting to lose. This, to me, feels worse. You're facing a team that had two wins entering play. You were able to host this year. Last year, at least, Vanderbilt was on the road. So say what you will about, you know, having to travel or whatever circumstances and situations arise from that. This was pretty excuse-free to me. This is a home game against a team that has had a ton of issues. It had just fired its offensive coordinator. And Florida looked like the better team on paper entering play. And so I had a feeling that this was going to be a closer game, and I think even Billy Napier had a feeling that that was going to happen. I don't know that anybody expected Florida to lose. I certainly did not. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that that was a tough one, and it has dampened the mood around here for sure. I think that there are still a lot of people who are, you know, waiting to see what will come of this recruiting class for Florida, which is currently ranked third in the country. For the 2024 class and maybe where that shakes out come mid-December. But yeah, I would say that at a minimum, there's kind of a widespread sense of, you know, at least, I don't know if it's fear, but definitely kind of some questioning of what's going on at Florida. And is this program trending in the right direction? And yes, there's some good recruiting going on, but the on-field product has been questionable at best, in my opinion, through nine games. And so it's kind of a mixed bag. I think people are still trying to figure out exactly how they feel. And these next 3 weeks plus recruiting are going to determine that.
Yeah, you and I have both covered college football long enough to know that, look, recruiting is great, but if that on-the-field product doesn't improve that recruiting is going to flame out. It's not going to be able to be something that is sustainable. Those pipe dreams you're selling of playing time and, you know, opportunities to come in and compete right away. Well, if you're not winning, it doesn't matter. So, you know, I think it's very interesting. You mentioned the fact that you felt Arkansas would be a close game. Napier probably felt that because LSU fans remember kind of at the beginning of what was a crazy losing streak for Sam Pittman's crew. Arkansas nearly took down LSU in Baton Rouge earlier this season. So it's one of those games where I think that when you have a Sam Pittman coach team, and you probably saw this on the field on Saturday, was it something where you saw Arkansas just playing very, very physical? I mean, they've got a really good defensive line. They've got nice pieces. It's just been a weird offensive year. And KJ Jefferson still is a tough matchup for any team. So what did you maybe take away from on the field that maybe didn't work and things that have to be corrected as they get ready to make this trip to Baton Rouge?
Yeah, I mean, I said before the game that one thing that would be a significant factor would be whether or not Florida could protect the quarterback and slow down an Arkansas defensive line that has been effective throughout the entirety of the season. Landon Jackson, I would say, has been one of the best edge rushers in the SEC. He's extremely effective. And the guys around him, maybe not as prominent, but certainly still good. And they had, I would say, performed better defensively than their 2-6 record shows. And it's the reason why they were able to play in a lot of those close games. Margin of loss in their previous three SEC road contests was 4.3 points, 13 total points of deficit over three total games. That continued in Gainesville, although they fell on the right side of it. And so I think, you know, coming in, it was whether or not Florida was going to be able to protect and match the physicality and the desire that Arkansas was going to come in with to have a win. And that applies to the offensive side for Arkansas and Florida's defense as well. You know, KJ Jefferson is a put the head down and pick up yards by whatever means necessary kind of quarterback. They had Rocket Sanders, the star running back, back in the fold for that game. He was coming off a knee injury, and he is a very physical runner who gets downhill and beats up on defenders. And I don't know that Florida did enough to be able to match those things. It defensive issues proved to be kind of an inhibiting factor for Florida. They didn't really do a good job slowing down KJ Jefferson. Rocket Sanders eclipsed 100 yards on the ground again. And then, I mentioned on the other side of the ball, there was pressure that got to Graham Mertz reasonably consistently. There were drives that stalled out, I would say, that proved critical. And as Billy Napier said, and I found it to be kind of an interesting quote, he said that they were six plays away. You know, usually you hear coaches say we were one or two plays away. Billy Napier assessed that Florida was roughly six plays away from winning this game. And I think it's, you know, you could argue that there were more than that. And so, yeah, Florida was out physical on both sides of the ball. I think that Arkansas came in and just looked like the team that wanted it more, got off to a 14-0 lead right at the outset of the game, and within 3 minutes. And the result was the result.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and look, we're going to get more into the offensive and defensive matchups. So maybe LSU fans are interested in hearing what's going to travel down to Tiger Stadium. But I know we were talking about this before. There's been some mental miscues with this team that are kind of head-scratching. And I know you mentioned some interesting exchanges within the press conference that I believe you said was yesterday. So kind of walk me through, Jacob, you know, special teams, you know, getting 11 guys on the field and just overall game management. I know you mentioned there's maybe a little bit of a worry from the fan base about the direction. Are they trending up or trending down? You know, 10, 11 games in the season, Jacob, if we're just going to be honest, it's not something that should be happening at this juncture of the football season.
Well, Bryce, special teams this season have been a major issue for Florida, and we've seen them, you know, occur multiple times in multiple games. I'll give you a very, in my mind, basic example. Florida in 9 games now has had 5 contests in which it has had at least one special teams play with fewer than 11 men on the field. That is communication on the sideline. That is an organizational issue. I don't know how guys are routinely put in wrong positions or not in position at all on the field. I'll give you another example against Arkansas. One of the most consequential plays of the game was right at the buzzer. Florida seemingly wanted to clock the ball around its own 26-yard line off the top of my head. Offense stays on the field for first and 10, 8 seconds left on the clock with no timeouts. And the field goal unit starts to take the field and then has to try to get off the field with the offense set. It's an illegal substitution penalty. And the only saving grace for the Gators there, and it ended up not mattering because, you know, the kick was no good, but the only saving grace was that there was no 10-second runoff because the ball was not set and the officials had not started the clock yet. So they still had 8 seconds to go out and kick a field goal. But you've effectively iced your own kicker by taking a penalty, by running him out there in a hurry with 8 seconds left, and then running him off the field again. And the result was a missed field goal and an overtime Florida loss. And so, special teams have not really been there, in my opinion, so far this season. I would say that that's an area this offseason where for Billy Napier to really keep this on the right track, or at a minimum, in a place where fans are having some confidence that things could maybe catch some footing. An offensive coordinator, in my opinion, is a necessary hire. And so is a special teams coordinator, because to me, those are the two areas where Florida struggled the most.
Taking a look here behind enemy lines at a Florida team that, like you mentioned, has struggled at times. And look, LSU fans, a lot of them are familiar with Lafayette just being 40 minutes away from Baton Rouge with Billy Napier and what he was able to accomplish in his time with the Raging Cajuns. Jacob, when I look at this, and have watched SEC football this year, coming into the season, we were in Nashville. I did not think Florida would be amongst the tops in the SEC East. Now, look, early on in the season, you could make a case. Hey, the win against Tennessee, what they were able to do, it said, the fan base might have gotten a little bit excited about what they could accomplish. But it's a group offensively that, has two running backs that can do some damage. Graham Mertz, to me, I think, and you tell me, just from the outside, he's been better than I expected. What is your take on Graham Mertz in this offense and, guys like Eugene Wilson, the third, who has been a very, very nice, addition and has probably instilled some confidence in the recruiting for this class going forward. All that being said, what's kind of your take on the offense as they get ready to make the trip to LSU?
Hello, everyone. It's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does. 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS Hawaii is back. About to set it all on fire. New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violent Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Yeah, it's an interesting group, and I think that the results have been somewhat varied this season, especially on the road. You point back to that game at Kentucky. Florida scores only 14 points, and that was a really underwhelming outing. And then you look at their contest in South Carolina, and they put up 41 points in a 41-39 shootout win over the Gamecocks. And maybe you see some signs of life. This is an offense that is going to try to attack teams, in that short to medium yardage range. They are not going to really try to blow you up over the top. They don't necessarily have the receiver skill or depth to be taking the tops off of defenses. And that, to me, is where Graham Mertz has shined the most. I do believe that Mertz has given Florida as good a chance as it's going to get, given its offense and how it needs or likes to operate. He has done a great job of understanding the scheme, operating within it, and I think this is really important. He does not turn the ball over. Even when Florida struggles, even at Florida's lowest, so far this season, we have seen Mertz deliver a very consistent product without a lot of risk. Doesn't really get Florida into bad spots in terms of giving defense short fields due to turnovers, due to bad drives. Florida has been better that way than I think maybe some people would expect given the struggles that this team has had. That being said, there are absolutely limitations. And we saw those against Arkansas to a degree, where if you can defend the short to intermediate ranges and you can slow Florida down on the ground, you take away the vast majority of its offense. There is not a lot of creativity within this scheme. It is very playmaker dependent. You mentioned Trey Wilson, Eugene Wilson to LSU fans. He's a guy where, you know, he gets the ball into his hands and is a shifty playmaker who can get away and separate from defenders. He is a problem when Florida can find him. Ricky Pearsall is a problem when Florida can find him. And you know, LSU fans might be familiar with him as he's a former teammate of Jaden Daniels at Arizona State. But again, you know, if defenses are able to do generally what they need to do and take some of these things away, Florida becomes really one-dimensional. And so, you know, this is an offense that is, again, playmaker dependent. It's going to try and attack you in those short to medium ranges and get the ball out fast into the hands of those playmakers. And then it, you know, basically it comes down to whether or not a defense is going to make tackles and be in the right position.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. The reason I think this football game is going to be interesting and that a lot of people are wary of that 13-point advantage that Vegas put on this game for LSU is the two things you just mentioned. You know, LSU's inability to tackle effectively this season. And a group, too, that I think is going to be something. You mentioned that South Carolina game. And the one thing that stands out to me about South Carolina is the weakness up front that they have on both sides of the football. LSU's front seven has underwhelmingly performed this season. And so that's something if Florida can, you know, get things rolling, I think is, you know, a cause for concern. It's something we're going to take a look at, obviously, later this week over at Go247. But, you know, you mentioned some playmakers. You mentioned Graham Mertz. I think the one thing that, you know, LSU fans are excited about is when you look at Mertz, you don't see a KJ Jefferson. You don't see a Jackson Dart. You don't see a Jalen Milroe. The legs aren't as big of a threat. I mean, the guy is not completely immobile in the pocket. But, Jacob, LSU's had success against quarterbacks that are maybe more wary of staying in the pocket. Is that a concern with the offensive line going into this game where LSU doesn't have to worry about a Jalen Milroe or a guy that can just kind of improvise? Mertz doesn't seem like that type of player.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that Mertz puts pressure on you in different ways in that he is a really heady quarterback and he does understand scheme and he does diagnose really well. So I think that that's notable. But of course, you know, if you don't have a quarterback who's going to be able to give you that same escapability, and have the ability to make the off-schedule play like the Milroes or the Jaden Daniels of the world can, or Anthony Richardson, you know, is a good one to point back to because LSU faced Anthony Richardson in the Swamp last year. That doesn't exist with Florida right now. And so, you know, Florida's offensive line has not done an adequate job over the course of the season. They give up a ton of pressure. You mentioned LSU having some front seven struggles. I think that that's kind of going to be an interesting area of this game. Which struggling big unit, you know, up front unit is going to be able to come out on top in this one. If Florida can protect Graham Mertz, he is a dramatically better quarterback. When he has some time in the pocket, he actually does kind of become dangerous. Just because, again, I really do think he does a good job of diagnosing the field and understanding what he sees without taking too much risk. But once he comes under fire, it becomes impossible for obvious reasons. We saw those struggles against Arkansas. We saw them very clearly against Kentucky. Georgia had four sacks and limited Florida essentially to 7 points until the fourth quarter. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that this is kind of going to be one of those games where if Mertz stays clean, could it be competitive? Maybe. If Mertz is under fire the entire game, just given Florida's defensive struggles, which I'm sure we'll talk about here in a second, yeah, it's going to be a long night for the Gators.
Yeah, it's a great segue, Jacob. We talk about this defense, and look, a lot is going to hinge on the health of Jaden Daniels. I know that Billy Napier said they're preparing for both cases. Jaden Daniels has kind of entered officially that concussion protocol after the hit he took last Saturday night that knocked him out of the football game. And I don't want to say it changed the complexion. I mean, I think the problem with LSU right now, Jacob, is the fact that even if Daniel was still in the game, you'd have to count on that defense to get a stop against Alabama, and not a lot of fans felt confident in saying that. That being said, I mean, it's hard to prepare for a guy like Daniels. Garrett Nussmeier is more of the gunslinger type. He's a guy that really likes to throw the ball around the yard, per se. We know the weapons that LSU has at the wideout position. You know, the running backs were really not too effective against Alabama. Alabama did a really good job negating that, and that's a championship-level defense they have over in Tuscaloosa. But your thoughts about how Florida's defense matches up. Correct me wrong, I know there were some notable injuries for this Florida defense in the Arkansas game. What's the status of those guys? And overall, how do you feel like this is a matchup when Florida comes to Tiger Stadium?
Yeah, let's start with the injuries because there are some actually very significant ones. Starting linebacker Shamar James will not play against LSU, nor will he appear against Missouri or Florida State. He's out for the season. Had a dislocated kneecap, and that had to require surgery. So he won't be available for Florida until the springtime. Notably, however, there are some guys whose statuses we don't really know yet, and we won't find out until tomorrow. And that is defensive lineman Cam Jackson, Florida's nose tackle, who has been very good so far this season, transfer from Memphis. And then edge rusher Tyreek Sapp also missed Florida's game against Arkansas. You could argue that those three absences alone made the difference. You know, Arkansas is a very good team on the ground, and it's kind of in a similar fashion to what Jaden Daniels can do to you. He's a guy who's going to be able to escape the pocket. LSU is a team that is, you know, creative in its picking up of rushing yards. And when you lose your top three run stoppers, essentially, that can become problematic. But, you know, defense in general for Florida has been an up and down battle. A great start to the season, including that game that you mentioned earlier against Tennessee, where Florida got a win at home against then number 11 Tennessee. Ever since then, we've seen some varied results. South Carolina seemed like kind of a turning point to me. The Gamecocks still put up 39 points, even though they lost. And since then, we've continued to see some of the same struggles that really were a problem in Columbia. And that is secondary play has been a massive issue, and putting pressure on opposing quarterbacks has been almost non-existent. And so this is a Florida team that will need to try and find some ways to increase its coverage, whether that's playing with an extra defensive back on the field more often. I'm not sure right now. I mean, we're going into week 10, so changes are hard to make. And you've covered college football long enough to know that we're too deep into the season for schematic changes so far. Yeah. That being said, could you make small tweaks to protect yourself? Maybe. And I think it's come to a point now where Florida will need to try and do some of that. This secondary has gotten shredded in recent weeks, and this is not the game against LSU with the receivers and the tight ends and the running backs that they have, and the potential potency, I would say, especially with Jaden Daniels. You're going to have to protect yourself. And so I do see this as a game that's going to potentially be really challenging for Florida's defense. Could it make the necessary tweaks to work out? I guess. But to me, that's going to be the pitfall here and why I would be pretty confident that this is going to be an LSU win.
Yeah, you kind of teased it right there. This is a game where a lot of the fans, and myself included, watching this one, you kind of throw the records out. We've had some crazy finishes over the past couple of seasons. But, Jacob, you've kind of alluded to it. Wanted to get kind of not maybe a firm prediction, but what are some of the kind of keys if Florida is able going to pull off this upset? What are some things they have to hit on to really be able to, one, you know, quiet down what is going to be a crazy crowd on Saturday night, but just overall overcome some of the deficiencies that you've kind of laid out here today?
Yeah, I would go back to the line of scrimmage. I think that has been kind of the issue that has limited Florida in recent weeks. It was absolutely a limiting factor against Arkansas. You know, and that goes both ways. It's protecting the quarterback, like I said earlier, but it's also finding the quarterback and picking up sacks, which Florida has not done at a high rate. And then second to that, I think it goes back to the secondary. I think that this is one of those games where you're going to face a lot of pressure, regardless of who's at quarterback. And I think that's important to note, just with the playmakers on the perimeter that LSU has at its disposal. And it's going to demand the best out of Florida's secondary, which we haven't seen now in some weeks. So to me, this will come down to whether or not Florida's secondary is able to step up and generate some stops and make things challenging for LSU's quarterbacks, whoever it is that's back there. And then the line of scrimmage both ways, whether or not Florida can create and prevent pressure.
Obviously going to be a big time matchup Saturday night in Death Valley. LSU fans excited to once again get back home. Final three games for the Tigers, all potentially going to be night games. They released that Georgia State time. We expect A&M to be a night kickoff as well. Jacob, I know you're excited to take in Death Valley. It's going to be a fun experience for you. As we get out of here, if LSU fans kind of want to read the Florida perspective, let us know, let them know, and let us know where they can find all of your work and how you guys will be covering this week.
Yeah, I definitely feel free to come on over and check out what we're doing over at swamp247.com. We'll be covering all things Florida Gators. Billy Napier talks to the media on Wednesday. So if you're looking for his comments, you can check in sometime tomorrow night. I'd probably say around 7:30, 8 p.m. Eastern time is when we'll have those comments up on our site. And then over on Twitter also, you can follow Graham Hall, who is my coworker. the excellent Graham Hall, myself, at Jacob Rudner on Twitter. And we'll get to your Florida news.
Awesome. It's going to be a fantastic matchup. And Jacob's going to be making the trip over this weekend. LSU and Florida, big time matchup. We went behind enemy lines. Hey, thanks so much for tuning in. Whether you are listening on the podcast feed, Spotify, Apple, anywhere you get that, make sure to follow us, subscribe to that feed there. And if you're on the YouTube channel, hit the subscribe button as well. Completely free as we continue to grow all things LSU. We'll catch you next time here on the Go 24/7 podcast.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream seven national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.